Father, we just thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We commit this day, all that this day holds for all your people, into thy hands. We surrender to your sovereignty, to your power, to the pleasure of your will. We pray, Lord, touch each one, Lord. Meet them at their point of need. Life, healing, strength, peace, rest. It's all found in you and you alone, O Father. Because you are the resurrection and the life. You are our healing and you are our healer. In you alone we have rest. Beginning of a working week, we receive it by faith. And help us to walk by faith. Not shaken. Because we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So this morning, continue to speak to us, Lord, as we meditate upon your word. Because your servant Peter said, the end of all things are near. Therefore be sober. Help us, Lord, to hear, to learn, and to walk in it. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll go to Revelation 13, but before go there, remember Revelation 12. That's when the saints win the final victory. They overcame him, that's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And these are the people who did not love their lives. The two lives that are. They did not love the life the world offers, even unto death. We see, we saw that there's war in heaven and Satan is cast. He tries to devour the man-child, but the man-child was taken away. Two takes to that. One is being, literally being Christ, and the other being the church, the overcoming church is taken. And then he goes to make war with the rest of the seed of the woman. You will see there, he goes to make war and raised. When to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's where chapter 12 ended. Now we go to what happens on earth when this, the devil is finally cast down to earth. Revelation 1 to 8 we'll read. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. We'll read verse 9 also. And all those who have an ear, if I'm right, that's verse 9. And if anyone has an ear, let him hear. That doesn't mean you have only one ear, but it means you are able to hear. That you are able to. One ear, one eye means focus, okay? So don't let your mind wander, okay? Let your mind be present, okay? Not when you mark attendance, it's not just body is present, mind is absent, okay? This is what's going to happen, okay? You cannot read this without reading parallel portions in the Bible. We'll just use scripture to interpret scripture, okay? We go to Daniel chapter 7 and we will read from verse 1 to 8. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. That's a strange statement, right? Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. And Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the others. The first was like a lion and had an eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night vision, behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and was trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Okay? Now we'll go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and we will read verse 1 to 4 because they're all talking about the same period. 2. Now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. This is the same person who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now if you go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Again, 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Okay, they're all talking about the same thing. Okay, same thing. So we go to now, chapter 13. Okay, so we'll keep running between Revelation 13 and the book of Daniel. I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Now, when you talk about the sea, you know the sea here doesn't mean sea. It means people, multitude of people. If you go to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1 and then verse 15, then one of the 7 angels who had 7 bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. If you come to verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Okay, so if you look at the sea, the waters is basically the Antichrist will rise up from a multitude of nations. Now you need to realize the Antichrist is a person. Okay, in book of Revelation, John never calls him the Antichrist. He calls him the beast. But remember, he will call him the Antichrist in his first episode. So the Antichrist is a person, and he's also called the beast. And the beast is also a person, and it is also a kingdom. Like Christ and his kingdom cannot be separated. They are one and the same. Christ is a person and he has a kingdom. And his kingdom is entirely consumed by his character. In the same way, the Antichrist, and when his kingdom comes, will be consumed by his character. And that's, it's called a beast. Okay, it's the beast kingdom that is going to rise. Okay. And in Daniel 7, he will come up finally has a little horn. Okay, but he will supplant all the other horns. In Daniel 8, in verses 9 to 12, it is this horn that makes war against the saints and prevails. Out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the glorious land. It grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. Okay, yeah. 2 to 12, yeah. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And because of the transgression, an army was given to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Okay, this is what Daniel will talk about. Paul will talk about the abomination, the desolation, all that. Okay, this is all talking about the same thing that is happening. As we go further down in the Bible, it becomes clearer and clearer, because like you see, there's many things are locked in time. Okay, and time reveals this. So, in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, especially in verse 2, you will see the beast. Okay, 2. I saw a beast rising, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. If you come to this beast, which I saw was like a leopard, his feet was the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. Okay? And the dragon gave his. So what you see is the beast in Daniel 7, the four beasts in Daniel 7. The final beast will have all the characteristics of all the four beasts. That's what you see, the final. That's why he will be fourth one. Daniel will say will be more terrible than all the others, preceding empires, tyrants we have seen, and he will crush everything. So that's why he is described. I mean, it's both a person and also a kingdom. Remember, both John and Daniel see 10 horns and 7 heads. Okay. In Revelation, if you look in verse 1, you will see having 7 heads and 10 horns. Okay. And on his horns, 10 crowns. While in Revelation, all the 7 heads are on one creature. Okay. But if you read Daniel, the 7 heads are on 4 creatures. Go back, we'll see. Daniel chapter 7. Okay. Now, NCC, okay, if you look over there, 4 beasts came. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. Okay, come further down. Another, okay, it comes. Okay. Okay, 4 heads. Okay, you see, the beast had 4 heads. So you will see the leopard, the one which looks like the leopard has 4, the other 3 has 1 each. So altogether it has 7 heads. But when you come to the book of Revelation, all of them, the 7 heads are together. Okay, so it's basically, it's all symbolic, because this final empire that rises and the beast that controls will have all the power and the wickedness of all the other. We think they were bad. We don't know what is coming. We know what is coming. Okay. So it tells us to be prepared. Okay. So in the Daniel, the lion has 1 head, the bear has 1, the leopard has 4, and the fourth one has 1. But here, all the 7 heads are with 1 beast. And John says the beast is like a lion, a bear, and a leopard. And that he is like the beast of the book of Daniel. This is the beast kingdom. And in 13:5, you will see he's given a mouth. Okay. In 13:5, he's given a mouth to blaspheme. He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he's given authority to do this for, you will see, 42 months. If you go to Daniel chapter 7, Daniel 7, 8 and 11, Daniel 7, 8 and 11. Daniel 7, 8. Okay, I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them. before whom three, okay, and there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and the mouth speaking pompous or buck. If you go to verse 11 again, and then 20 and then 25, okay, verse 11. I was there because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. And I was till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And the ten horns that were on its head and the other horn which came up before which three fell, namely the horn which had eyes and the mouth which spoke pompous words. So everywhere, if you go in verse 25 also, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High and shall persecute the saints of the Most High. So you will see what Daniel sees is he sees it much more clearer. And you will see this in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 24 also. 8:24. Okay, I got it wrong. That's okay. Is it 18:24? No. Leave it. It doesn't matter. Okay. And we will see in 13:4 and Revelation, Daniel 8:11, he will receive worship. Okay, Revelation 13:4. The people, they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him. If you go to Daniel 8:11, you will see the same thing happening. Okay. He even exalted himself as high as the priest of the host, and by him the daily sacrifices were taken away and the place of his sanctuary, H is Christ, okay, his sanctuary was cast down. So you will see here, he will exalt himself and people will worship him. We saw he will continue for 42 months. This parallels Daniel 7:25. Okay, so you see the parallel over in Daniel 7 and verse 25. He shall speak, okay, if you go to the end, the saints shall be given into his hands for a time and times and half a time. That's the old covenant way of saying 42 months or 3.5 years. Okay. In Daniel 7, 25, you will see that the saints are given into his hands. In Revelation 13:7, you will see the same thing. God will allow him to kill the saints. Okay. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Remember, God is always sovereign. He's always in control. He's the one who is handing it over. It is not that the devil has his own power or authority, but God is in his sovereignty. He's allowing things to happen. So we saw in Daniel 8:11 and also in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, a certain prince will take away the daily sacrifice. He will break the covenant. We see that in Daniel 9:27 also. This will happen, okay? But this is basically talking about the second half of the tribulation period, because in the first half, he will make peace. He will make peace with Israel and allow them to build the temple. Allow them to build the temple, okay? So everything that is happening in Israel, okay? I don't know whether God is putting his foot on his brake, because I don't want to give you false hope, because we have a coalition government here, so they can't go ahead with their agenda like before. And EU election results are coming in, and the far right has done pretty well. Though the center right will rule, but Germany, France, Italy, the right has won. Macron has called for elections because he lost very badly. Alf in Germany also has lost. As I said, these elections are a harbinger. Okay, I said first India, then EU, then US. Which way? Is God giving us time or is it over? Elections matter. Which people come on power? I'm not saying they didn't win here. The others also didn't win here. Okay, so you need to realize elections are not fought on the ballot box. So there are war going in spiritual realms. There are war going on. That's why God's people are called to pray. Because people who pray are the only ones who can determine the outcome of an election. Okay, there is war in heaven and the saints were on earth praying. Okay, we cannot, don't be blinded by what is happening. Because these are not just political battles. Yes, that's why we pray for certain people who we know are in the forefront of this battle. But things on earth are determined by things that happen. That's what we saw in chapter 12. There was war in heaven. And when Michael prevailed, the saints overcame. If Michael lost, the saints will lose. Okay. When Moses' hands came down, Joshua lost. Joshua's victory over Amalek is not dependent upon how skilled a soldier he is, how many men he has, how well trained. It's entirely dependent upon the arms of Moses. When his hands came down, Joshua lost. And that's how God has ordained our lives. That's why the apostles learned it, understood it, and the Bible says they gave themselves over continuously to prayer and to the ministry of the word of God. Because at a personal level, your spiritual victories and success will be proportional to your prayer life. That's how God has ordained it. Like I told you, God has given us, that's Psalm 115 verse 16, God will go over there. Then we will understand all these things that are happening. I think I'm right. 1:16 Who made heaven and earth? The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. That's why Christ had to come as man. That's why God says, when you pray, this is what you need to pray, thy kingdom come, because we have to invite God. God can sovereignly do a lot of things, but he will not intervene in our lives usually unless we ask him, because he has given earth to man. And that is where the church comes in. The church has to stand, and that's why God says, I always look for one man who would stand in the gap. So this is what the church is involved in. And God says, if you don't get that, because you only have certain amount of time in life, if you don't get it, what will you use that time? You will use time to pursue things, meaning, I'm not saying you shouldn't work and all this, no. Your mental focus attitude will be towards those things which are actually added by the kingdom, while you will miss out on the kingdom. Seek ye first. That is the whole crux of that statement. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things I will add to you. But if you go after this, you will miss out on the kingdom, because the kingdom cannot come into your life, because your prayer life will be affected. Your prayer life will be affected. So that's why walking by faith is not easy, because we are swamped by sight. Whole world, the entire thing, 24/7, we are swamped by sight, and in the middle of it, to walk by faith, to believe the unseen and believe what God has said. So you will see, sight will overtake, the enemy will come, the Antichrist will rise, and the dragon, Satan, will give him his power. And he is going to manifest his power, like as we read further, we will see, like never before. And all the world will worship him, and he will receive the worship, because you need to realize it's all about worship. And when we read this portion, we will see that ultimately what is going to divide is worship. Worship is going to divide humanity. Those who worship the beast, those who worship Christ. Worship is going to divide everything. So we will see in Revelation 13, 8 and 14, the worship of the beast. Okay, in verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Who? Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In verse 14, we will see, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Basically, I mean, now we understand this, like probably what is happening is this Antichrist will survive an assassination attempt. Okay, assassination attempt, and he will come through. Basically, he will fake the resurrection. He will fake that he's dead and he comes back. He will fake the resurrection. It will be, in our terms, an assassination attempt. If you come to verse 15, so here you see, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Meaning, by the time you come to verse 15, the worship of the beast has been made into law. And if you don't worship the beast, you will be killed. So you will see that's how it is going. It's moving towards that, okay? And don't think when that day comes, we will be ready to say no. It doesn't work like that, because we will not have the strength to say no, if you haven't learned to say no to the beast kingdom now. And we will see that he comes from those four successive regions of Alexander the Great. So we have a kind of a geographical clue where he will come from. Okay. And If you look at the whole area, if you look at, it's basically the same thing that is happening. The Iranians and the Turkey, these are all part of the old empires. Babylon, Medo-Persia, all these are part of the old empire. And if you hear, if you actually watch on Twitter or YouTube and all, when the crowd is gathered in the streets of Tehran and all those places, they shout to, still shout to Nebuchadnezzar. Because that's their history. Like we talk about our history. Okay, we talk about our history. That's what everybody is going back to their history. Okay, we talk about our history. The whole celebration of Ram is a history, mythological creature. It's a creature. Talk about Ram Rajya. Okay, in the same way they talk about this. Okay, so you need to realize history is finally coming back. Okay, so. Full circle. But the fact is that God is sovereign. He is in control. He'll allow all this to happen because it is testing. Testing the resilience of the saints. Now we may ask, why would God allow the saints to be killed? Because the saints of the last days are the saints who have been given the most. The kind of knowledge available like no one. Opportunities, time, everything has been given to them. Everything has been given to them. And therefore, from them, it will be demanded so much. Because like we have access to the knowledge, the literal knowledge of God available today is more than any saint of any time. Even than Apostle Paul. Anybody, anytime. We have. Apostle Paul never read the book of Revelation. Okay. We have much. And all the saints, we have subsequent saints, and everything is available to us. And we understand the visions John saw better than John saw. John couldn't understand it because he's locked in time. And time reveals a lot of things. If John were to be transported here today, he will look around and wonder what this place is like. Because he lived 2,000 years ago. Okay, 2,000 years ago. And 2,000 years later, so many of the prophecies make a lot of sense to us. It's all playing out. So please remember that, sir. But ultimately we know, if you go to Revelation 19 and verse 20, the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So we know their end. Okay, so God is in control. He'll allow, but ultimately they and all those who worshipped him all will end up in the lake of fire. Okay, so if you go to 13:1, there are numbers. Okay, there are numbers. Then I saw, seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Okay, we already saw the sea is talking about multitudes of people. We saw that. The seven heads, tradition says, are the seven empires: Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, the Persians, Greece, Rome, and ultimately the revived Roman Empire. Okay. And I do believe US is part of the Roman Empire, because US is populated by the people of Europe, founded by the people of Europe. Okay. So, and the interesting thing is that US national, this thing is the eagle. An eagle is what the Romans had on their shields. Okay. The eagle. Okay, so the lion was the British, the bear are the Russians, okay, and the dragon are the Chinese. The snake is the Indians. Everybody has their own beasts they worship, okay, please understand. So here you have the beast kingdom, the man, all represented the past kingdoms, the spirits of the past kingdoms. Because I told you, you know, these are spirits also behind kingdoms, principalities, familiar spirits. This all coming together as one. Okay. The 10 there will also, we will see, corresponds, remember, the 10 toes, the 10 horns of Daniel. Okay, and we will see them in Revelation 17:13 also. Okay, yeah, they are of one mind. and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These 10 kingdoms. Are they 10 kingdoms? We don't know. Are they 10 corporations? We do not know. Because corporation seems to be controlling everything. But remember, they call it a conspiracy theory. But technically they say the entire world is controlled by 13 families. They're called the Illuminati families, 13 families. India has a family, China has a family. There are 13 families that control the entire world, those families. They are in the background. All the leaders are puppets. They are not the ones who wield the power. They wield the power. They remain incognito, but they control, they say. And that is why, if I am right, in the American dollar, in the pyramid, there are 13 stairs. Okay. And that is the foundation of the American currency, that $1 with the all-seeing eye. Okay. So this is how you have all these theories going around, but ultimately it will all fall into place. It will all fall into place. Okay. And the beast, if you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come until the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. First, there has to be a falling away, meaning it's not the world, it's a church. There has to be a falling away in the church, because the church is God's vanguard. That is the bulwark that stands against always. Remember, the first intercession that takes place in the Bible is between God and Abraham. And Abraham makes this statement, if there are 50 righteous, will you? God says no. So remember, it's the righteous. See, you don't need too many number of righteous people to stop the flood of evil. Okay? Like, if India's history, if Jesus tarries to come and India's history actually changes, his government falls and another government comes in, I will tell you, if it was Mahatma Gandhi who rescued us from the British, it was Rahul, he rescued us from Modi. Single one man. It's all it takes is one man who is not interested in power, who walked the length and breadth of this country, stood there resolute under every name called after him, thrown out of the parliament, everything, he refused to give up. And therefore, we have a different result. This entire election result is because of him. It's because of him. Because he awakened. In the consciousness, all it takes, and the same way Gandhi, righteousness, you know, all it takes is that. Now, that's what it also means. One can put 1,000 to flee and 2, 10,000. Okay, that is the power of righteousness to do, okay? And that's what God is talking about over here. He says, so the son of perdition cannot rise unless the church falls away. The falling away in the church from faith, okay? Not that they will stop attending church. No, it's not that. They will start falling away from faith. And that's basically what will happen. And in 13:2, what you will see for the son of perdition, the man of sin, the son of perdition, you will see in 13:2, the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great. See, the devil cannot do anything on his own. Original. He has never done. He's an imitator. Okay. Like God gave his fullness in Christ, the dragon will give his fullness to the beast. Now we will see another prophet. So basically this is the demonic trinity. The dragon in the place of God the Father. The beast in the place of God the Son. And the false prophet in the place of the Holy Spirit. That's what he will, that's how he will deceive. That's how he will deceive. Okay, so he will do. Okay, so Jesus the Father gave all his authority, power to the Son. Jesus says all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. In the same way he will give. Because remember, Satan is a spirit. So what he has to do is he has to possess this man. He cannot manifest himself because earth is given to man. So this beast, which is called the Antichrist, which is a kingdom and a person, could be somewhere around. Already around. Being prepared. Be prepared to take over. Depending upon God's timeline. Okay. Most theologians say he's somewhere around. Already behind the scenes being prepared, like Jesus was hidden for 30 years and nobody knew him until he was presented before the people, and then he comes, repent for the kingdom of God is there. In the same manner, the Antichrist is also hidden somewhere and he's being prepared to take over. And when, like Jesus was presented, he came full of the Holy Spirit, this fellow will come full of the devil. Again, careful. But when we think about the devil, he will not come like wicked and ugly and nothing like that. He will be charismatic, absolutely stunning. His speech, demeanor, everything will just blow people away. Okay, on the other hand, in him there was no beauty that we desired of him. So one was spiritual, this will be all flesh. This is what flesh wanted. This is the end of idolatry. He will give us that image and say, this is what you wanted, right? Now worship this. Okay, this is the pinnacle of idolatry. We will reach it there. Okay. And in 13:3, okay, 13:3. I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. That's what I said. He will even fake a resurrection. Because that's the last thing. He will fake a resurrection too. But in our own modern words, he will come through an assassination attempt. And of course, they will blame it on the right. Okay, so he will see. So everything what he is doing is basically mimicking the Trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Okay. We saw the blasphemous words that come parallels. And Paul talks about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. Okay. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Look, there are temples and mosques all around the world. There are temples, mosques, churches, cathedrals all around the world. Okay, all this. But churches are only gathering places. But there is only one place and one house God has put his name. That is the temple in Jerusalem. That's why he has to sit there. He needs that place. That's why he will allow the temple to be built. Temple to be built so that he can sit there. He can't go to Tirupati or any of these places and still, because in the spiritual realm he knows it's a different ball game altogether. Even if he goes to sits in Sistine Chapel, takes the Pope's chair also, which the false prophet will do that. Okay, because the city on the seven hills, you know, is Rome, which will come back in Revelation 17 and all that. But this is what we need to understand. What is the devil trying to do? Why is this battle over Jerusalem? Why the Jews are waiting to build the third temple? Why did the Muslims go and build a temple over there? And finally, they will come to, I personally believe they will come to an agreement where they will say that the actual site, the Solomon's temple, is not where the Mosque of Omar is built. It is nearby on the side. So he will have a peace by saying, let us coexist side by side. You build yours and let them have yours and there will be peace. It's a false peace. But he won't enter into the mosque. After 3.5 years, he will enter into the temple. Okay, so that's how it will all work out. He will persecute the saints. Verse 7 says, he will persecute. 13:7 says, he will persecute the saints. Okay, blessing. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Nobody's gonna escape. Okay? If you turn with me to Revelation 7 and verse 9 and 10 and then verse 14. Okay, this is the last second half, 42 months. Okay? Yeah, 9 and 10, 7, 9 and 10, and then verse 14. After these things, behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In verse 4, I said to him, sir, you know. He said, who are these? So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are the people who are killed during this period because personally, if you look at this, this is what will happen. Once the rapture takes place and the overcoming saints are gone, all the others will know Christ is real. Now the only way to exit is either by death or worship the beast. A lot of people will refuse to take the mark. That's where God will give him authority over every nation, every tribe, and to kill the saints. These are the ones, that's why he told Thomas, blessed are those who believe without seeing. Because these are the set of people who will believe after seeing. Because they will know it's real. They know. Now they all know. They don't follow. But now they know it's gone. It's real. There's only one way out. I have to die. And many, many, many will die. And that's what it's talking about here in 13 and verse 7. He's given power. God allows this to happen. And in verse 8, we will see he will be the object of worship. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb. Like I said, ultimate division is worship. That's why the question, that's what, see, remember, 2000 years earlier, what this Antichrist is going to achieve was offered to Jesus on a platter by the devil. You bow down and worship me, I will give it all to you. But he will find a man who will do what Jesus refused to do. And ultimately all of mankind whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life will worship him. Okay, so that's where we are talking about. God says, if any has an ear, let him hear. Because this is the Antichrist. Okay, this is the Antichrist which John prophesied in 1 John 2:18. The Antichrist will come. Because his entire, so many antichrists have come, okay, by which we know it is the last hour, because his entire purpose is to acquire power and turn people away from God and directing worship towards himself. And he will do it in various ways. One, he will create ultimately a one world government, the beast kingdom. Okay, people do not realize, like, the policies that are coming in, nations are signing into the UN climate agenda, WHO's agenda. If you sign those agendas, what happens? They control. Meaning, they control so many things, like if there is a pandemic, another pandemic, UN can order every government to shut down. So it's all getting centralized. And that is where these elections matter, because those who oppose those things are holding, refuse, okay, are this thing. That's why, like I said, today's election results matter. Not that the far right has won, but they have won decisively in countries that really matter. Because in Europe, the three countries that matter in Europe is Germany, France, and Italy. And all three the right have taken. The other countries are smaller. Sweden and all don't have economic clout or military clout. The big countries in Europe is Germany is the strongest, France and Italy. And all three, the right has swept. Okay. Not that they will get a majority in EU, but the problem is their agenda will be put on a hold just like the agenda is put. Now you just pray Trump wins. But ultimately, it's America that matters. Okay, so what he will do, he will create a one world government. He will be, when you talk about anti-Christ, meaning he will be anti to everything Christ stands for. That's basically what does Christ stand for? That's where the word of God is so important. What does the word of God stand for? Okay, what does the word of God stand for? Okay, like I said, you are not what you look like. You are what you think like. As a man think, how do you think? That is basically what is happening, the brainwashing that is happening. So you will see the system that is in place in US, the current dispensation, Europe and everywhere. They are anti-nuclear family. They are against the family. They are against the family. Because communism doesn't like families. The concept about a family, because family is a basic unit. Okay. A building is only as strong as the bricks. If you build a house with low quality bricks, it's easy to bring the house down. And if the issue was not with the house, the issue was with the bricks. So they don't like nuclear families, because nuclear families are very strong component. So they are trying to break it down. So that's why they go against sexuality, they go against gender. Basically, it is against the family. And so they are for abortion, they are for all this, because once the family is broken down, then the people become dependent upon the state. The state, somebody has to replace the father. That's why the attack is never against the mother. The attack is always against the father, because the father is the source. He's supposed to be the provider of the bread, the one who holds everything together. So you see the entire narrative is against the father, because if you take the father out, the government becomes the father. That's why Nazis don't say motherland, they say fatherland. Okay, fatherland. Okay, the state replaces. So, you know, so you are dependent upon the state for everything. That's why civilization, modern civilizations try to herd people into the cities. Because when you are in the rural areas, like when I went to the rural areas, like, no, you have your autonomy. Like I was in my ancestral home, my uncle's home. They got 6 solar panels. They give electricity to the government. They give electricity to the government. They got their farm. They got all their vegetables. They have their well from which they get their water. They're not dependent upon the system. Here, if power goes for 24 hours, everything shuts down. You have no water. Your food goes bad. Everything we buy from the supermarket, we're entirely dependent upon the state. That's how slaves. And the worst thing is that it is easy to pay through the system, no? Phone pay, Google pay, all this pay. But the problem is, when you have cash, the power is in your hands. When you are dependent upon this, the power is on their hands. They can shut down the system anytime, anytime they want. They all have to shut down internet, all your payment goes. And what happens when you don't have cash in your hands? So you need to realize, they will sell these things to you saying how easy life is. How difficult, you know, how we can eradicate corruption and all those things. But the fact of the matter is, today cyber fraud, the amount of money that is stolen in cyber fraud is more than all the money which is stolen by cash. Okay, because it's in the hands of unscrupulous people. But you need to understand, the agenda is working. It's been slowed down. It has been slowed down. It is still working, because behind the scenes, they are bringing, because... And how will they use, if you go to 2 Thessalonians 2:9, how will the devil use it? The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders. People will be, I mean, the person who was sworn in yesterday, you know, in his meetings, he said he's of God. Then in North India, a whole set of people who started worshipping as one of the avatars. Okay, but India resisted that. And in his own state, the state, okay, that's where you have to see the hand of God in this election. Because UP was their state. They lost there. Ayodhya they lost. In Varanasi he just scraped through with 1.8 lakhs. You need to understand, Shivraj Chauhan won with 9 lakhs, Amit Shah with 8 lakhs, the Prime Minister won with just 1 point something lakhs. Okay, so the question was that against an unknown opponent, what if Priyanka had filed her nomination from Varanasi, what would have happened? Okay, that was the first say that she should contest from this. So you need to tell God put a foot on the brakes. Really, really telling us, okay, this is how the system, I'm not saying it's over, no. We have to be on our tender hooks, pray, because what they do, the enemy does is, you will see, he deceives. Okay, he deceives. That's what he does. He deceives, he intimidates, he coerces, and ultimately persecution. That has always been the method. It never has changed the methods. First he deceives, and Bible will talk about the lawless one in Daniel. He will use flattery. He flatters to deceive. All these things will happen. Okay? And we have to, because 12 is victory of the church and chapter 13 is the rise of the Antichrist kingdom. And we'll reach there. It's only a matter of time, because scripture cannot be broken. We cannot escape scripture. It cannot be broken. We will reach there. Only thing is that, how do we reach there? in chapter 12 taken out or chapter 3 killed? That's the only question you have to ask. Where are we? In chapter 12 or 13? Yes.
Salvation belongs to our God who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. We, the redeemed, we shall be strong in purpose and unity, Lord, in declaring aloud, sing praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, oh, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Never be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, 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 we thank you for this new day that you have given us. Your mercies are new every morning, Lord. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Even today, we are alive because we partook of your mercy. Knowingly, unknowingly, but your hand of mercy was there upon us. That's why we are here this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father, thank you, Lord. So many things happening everywhere, Lord. But you told us to keep our eyes fixed on the things that are unseen and not on the things that are seen. Fixed on Christ Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We keep our eyes on you this morning, Father. Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. So we look at life and not at death. You are our blessing. And you took the curse upon yourself. Therefore we look as ones who are blessed with salvation. Blessed with eternal life. Richer than the richest on earth, O Father. Because of what you have done, O Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We see ourselves as victors and not as victims. Because your word says we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, Lord. Because through you we have already conquered death. Well, all those who do not know you with all their power and might and splendor will be conquered by death one day. We have already conquered it through Christ Jesus. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, thank you. This morning once again we commit the dear brethren into thy hands, O Lord. We speak life. We speak life into every situation, Lord. Life and death is in your hands, not in the enemy's hands. We speak life. Your children will stand steadfast. Your word says, submit to God and resist the devil, and he shall flee, your Father. He will flee.
Yes.
We just thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Be with the church here. All your dear ones, everywhere, Father. Upon the children, we plead the blood. Upon the young, we plead the blood. Protection. They're going out and they're coming in through this week. Watch over us, Lord. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the privilege to stand in the gap and to intercede, O Lord. And pray, Father, that you will answer the prayers. Your children, your saints are crying out, Father, for deliverance. You will hear and you will answer. We just thank you, Father. Once again in your house, we declare, thine is the kingdom. The power and the glory forever and ever. God's people said, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.